Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
During his earthly ministry, Jesus preached truth, timeless, eternal, unchanging, applicable to our lives even today. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study the preaching of Jesus Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and Happy New Year from all of us at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. The message of Jesus Christ is timeless, it's eternal, and it is so important for our lives today. In fact, understanding what Jesus preached during his brief earthly ministry is a great way to start the new year. And so these days together, we are discovering the preaching of Christ and what mattered to Jesus and why it should matter to us. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. If you'd like more information about our ministry or this broadcast, or if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily Podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your computer or iPod, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we invite you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, as we discover Christ's preaching on the Christian's purpose in life. What a great way to start a new year to discover our purpose in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, here's Paul Chappell.
We're looking at specific sermons that Jesus himself preached during his ministry while here on this earth. And Matthew chapter 5 brings us to perhaps the most famous of all of the sermons of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And it is obvious as we study this particular sermon that it is the will of God that His children would bring influence upon the world, that we would influence the conditions of this world. The Beatitudes remind us that we have a responsibility to live differently and to effectuate a difference by the different lives we live as believers. Now, there are many ways to make a difference in the world. Some feel the best way is through politics. Some feel the best way is through education. Others through perhaps forms of social activism. And as we understand in the Scriptures this mandate to affect the world, the question this morning is, how can we do the best job at making a difference in the world in which we live? Many are asking themselves that question this past week. Many have surmised perhaps ways to make a difference, ways to do a better job. One commentator by the name of Cal Thomas wrote in his column this past week, "Religious right, rest in peace. 30 years of trying to use government to stop abortion, preserve opposite sex marriage, improve television and movie content, and transform culture into the conservative evangelical image has failed. The question now becomes, should conservative Christians redouble their efforts, contribute more to the activists, or would they be wise to try something else? I opt for something else," he says. "Too many conservative evangelicals have put too much faith in the power of government to transform culture. Too many conservative evangelicals mistake political power for influence. If results are what conservatives want, they already have a model. It is contained in the life and commands of Jesus of Nazareth. Suppose millions of conservative Christians engaged in an old and proven type of radical behavior. Suppose they followed the admonition of Jesus to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, and care for the widows and orphans. Not as an ends, as so many liberals do by using government, but as a means of demonstrating God's love for the whole person in order that people might seek Him. Now, you may or may not agree with every word of Cal Thomas, and that's fine, but I believe there's a point to be taken here. The way to influence the world is to follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful for conservative legislatures. I'm thankful, for example, that Judge Roberts sits on the Supreme Court today. I'm thankful for these types of victories, perhaps, that are won. But this morning, as we open Matthew chapter 5, we come back to the basics and we hear our marching orders today from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not from the news media, not from a political organization, but we're here this morning listening to what Jesus Christ has to say about how to make a difference in the world in which we live. And by the way, He has you here and He has me here for a purpose. I trust you understand that today. How many of you believe that God has you on this planet for some reason? In fact, Jesus, in His intercessory prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 15, said to the Father, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." In other words, it could have been God's plan that when someone accepted Christ as Savior, that instantly they were taken up into heaven. By the way, how many of you say, that would have been okay? That could have been God's plan. But Jesus said to the Father, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them immediately out of the world. I'm asking you to keep them from evil while they are in the world. Jesus knew that we were here to make a difference in this world. We were here to bring an influence by being what He calls in this passage, salt and light. It is God's will that we would be salt and light. And when Jesus uses the term salt and light, this description is based on His presuppositions of darkness and corruption being present in the world. And because darkness spiritually and corruption spiritually exist, then God says, I want those who are My disciples to go out and be the salt and light the world needs today. I don't mean to be depressing, but there's a lot of corruption in the world today and a lot of darkness in the world. And I've seen, and you've seen this past week on television, people who are jumping on police cars and starting fires and rioting because of their desires and their persuasiveness in particular efforts of their lifestyle. We see the corruption abounding on the streets today. And Paul spoke of that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now mark that down. If you will live godly, that is, if you will be a salty Christian, that is, if you will to live in a way that pleases God, you will suffer persecution. There will be times when people will not say, yay, he's abstaining from drinking. Yay, he won't listen to the dirty joke. Instead of congratulating you, they might condemn you. But look at the next verse. But evil men and seducers, and by the way, many of these rioters are seducers of men, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, they love their way more than they love God's way. Now, this is what the Bible says concerning the end times, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, this know in the latter days that perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, and so forth. And so God says toward the end of the age, there will be an abundant amount of corruption and spiritual darkness, and so He calls upon us to make a difference, and then He tells us how to make that difference. And so let's learn today how we as Christians can make a difference in the world in which we live. Notice, first of all, the duty of the Christian. The duty of the Christian as outlined by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Now in these verses, we see the duty of the Christian. And I might say it is more than merely our duty. It is truly the definition of our being. Notice in verse 13, ye are, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. This then speaks not merely of a performance, this speaks of the definition of our lives. God has not created you to be a human doing. He has created you to be a human being, and he says, I want you to be salt and light in the world. We are God's salt to retard corruption and his light to reveal truth. We have a negative function and a positive function, and it is given to us by God. And so in the first place, our duty is to preserve from contamination. This contamination, this moral contamination, tragic day in which we live calls out for people who will exhibit before this world godly characteristics, moral behavior, and Christ-like compassion. Now, sometimes my children tease me because I think salt can heal everything. How many of you grew up with somebody at home who thought certain things healed everything? Do you have somebody like that? Cod liver oil, you know, mercurochrome, different things like this. And I believe there's a lot of curing powers in salt. I mean, if they have a sore throat, gargle salt water, you know. You have the flu, gargle salt water, you know. Sometimes we'll be on vacation by the ocean. They have maybe a cut on their hand or on their leg. Go jump in the ocean, I tell them, you know, it's good for you, you know. They don't have any cuts or any sickness. Jump in the ocean anyway, sometimes I tell them. Sometimes my kids have said, Dad, you think salt cures everything, you know. Now, I don't know if it cures everything, but salt has a curative prospect for those who have particular types of maladies. And the Bible says that salt in the Bible times were used for flavoring, but also for preserving from spoil. This is before the time of refrigeration, and so salt was used to keep meat from spoiling, to keep the germs from spreading, and so forth. And the Romans believed that other than the sun, the most valuable commodity they had was salt. And sometimes Roman soldiers were even paid in salt because it was such a value to their particular society. Jesus says Christians are to be a preserving influence in the world. They retard moral and spiritual spoilage. And God has us here to make a difference in that way. Now, it is interesting in the scriptures, when the church is taken out of this world, and Christians will be one day called out of this world, the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, we which are alive and remain will join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That, my friend, is the blessed hope of the Christian. The Bible speaks of it in Titus, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our hope as believers. Now, prior to that time, there are millions of Christians on this planet who are the preservative element, who are maintaining a testimony for the Lord. But when the Christians are taken off of this planet, there will be a great resurgence of wickedness and immorality and destruction upon the world like the world has never seen prior. 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of that day. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, speaking of the Antichrist, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them, notice this phrase, a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, there will come a delusion upon this earth when the truth is removed from the earth, when believers are removed from this earth, there will be nothing to withhold the wickedness that will come upon the earth. And so I'm simply illustrating this morning that God has Christians in this world to be the preserving element from the wickedness that is so abundant. Now, someone says, well, where do you begin? I mean, there's so much in the way of difficulty and immorality. What can we do as Christians to make a difference? And some would argue, they'd say, well, I voted for this one and this one and this measure and that measure, but it seems like things don't get better. What can be done. Well, let me give you a few areas where we must be preserved by the salt of God's Word and God's Spirit. First of all, we must preserve our own personal testimony. Our own personal testimony. Perhaps you like me this morning. Perhaps you're burdened for your country. You're burdened for your county, your state, your city, your neighborhood. Perhaps you feel that burden. Perhaps like me, sometimes you ask this question, how can we make a difference? What can we do in this needy hour? And I say to you this morning, and I challenge you this morning, to start with yourself. You see, if your life and mine is not different by the grace of God, we cannot effectuate change. We cannot bring about a difference if we are not different through the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, notice this, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If you, as a Christian, are spotted and tainted, and if you are reflecting the world, then those around you would say, why do I need what he has? He is no different than I am. And so our first and foremost responsibility as Christians is to walk in holiness and uprightness before God in order that our testimony would reflect the preserving element of salt and light within us. We are to guard our own hearts from the world's philosophies, values, and many times the world's occupations in the sense of wickedness. And God says, I want you to be salt. I want your life to bring something different to the workplace, something different to the neighborhood, something different to the soccer program. There ought to be something about you and your family that is distinct and right. And so we must preserve our personal testimony. Secondly, we must preserve our family testimony. We are to be the salt of the earth. And I believe this is a tragic area of oversight on the part of many Christian families. And I say this not to the hurt or discouragement of any particular family, but there seems to be on many fronts an absenteeism, if you will, when it comes to really saying, I don't know what all's going on out in that world, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There'll be some channels we don't permit. There'll be some music we don't permit. There'll be some activities that we deem evil and wrong that will not be permissible in this family. Andrew Murray was a great preacher of the Word of God over 100 years ago, tremendous author on prayer and on holy living. Andrew Murray lived an exceptionally holy life. He had a salty, godly life. But his greatest influence was not necessarily his church or his preaching. The greatest influence of Andrew Murray was on his children and his grandchildren. 5 of his 6 sons became ministers of the gospel. His 4 daughters became ministers' wives. 10 of his grandsons became ministers, and 13 of his grandchildren became missionaries. I want to tell you something. He may not have pastored the largest church in his day, but he made a great difference where it counted in his own family. And I want you to look, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, in your notes at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Listen, God has given to us a ministry at home, and that is to make sure that our children have enough salt to know right from wrong. They have enough salt to preserve them, and our responsibility as parents is to protect them and to keep them unspotted from this world. We need to preserve our personal testimony, our family testimony. Thirdly, we need to preserve our church's testimony. Now, I speak specifically of Lancaster Baptist, but I think in general terms of many churches across this country. And sadly, the church today is more influenced by the world than the world is influenced by the church. We have rock and roll churches and rap churches and late night comedy churches and exercise churches, and we have so many different kinds of churches that many people are not getting the teaching of the Word of God, the doctrine of the Word of God, which is the salt they've got to carry home and we've got to carry to work this week. We've got to have the salt of the Word of God if we're going to make a difference. And if you're getting the same thing at church that you get on the late night talk shows, then you're not getting what you need, for the commandment to the preacher is very clearly given, preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. By the way, thank God we have a church that sings Christ-honoring songs and where the word of God is open, and we ought to do all that we can to preserve the old-time Bible religion in this day. It's a sad day when the present-day church has so little influence on the world because the world has had so much influence on the church. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Notice that phrase, the pillar and the ground of the truth. God says, I want the local church to be lifting up truth. I want them to be spreading salt and light, and I want my doctrine to be disseminated from that church into the hearts of the believers and out into the community. And we do not want, as some newspapers say, a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world. And the only way the church will make a difference in this world is if we are distinct and different. Listen, unbelieving people don't need to come into a place where it's exactly like they saw at the bar the night before. I'm talking about the dim lights and the smokiness and some kind of an entertainment venue. Listen, what we need is the preaching of the Word of God. And we need to do all we can. Someone might say to you, well, I just tell you, that Lancaster Baptist, they just always are preaching, sometimes just hellfire damnation, just singing songs that are old-fashioned. And you ought to say to yourself, thank God. Because America has not been getting any better with this newfangled concept of trying to reach out and please the unsaved. We have one goal here this morning, and that is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal, to please Him. And then finally, we must preserve our society. You see, it doesn't start by changing your neighborhood. It starts by you being changed and your family being changed and our church together being strong and salty. And then we can begin to make a difference in our society. You see, contrary to some modern thought, man is not evolving upward. Man is not becoming increasingly better and more moral and godly. Man has invented more ways to corrupt and destroy himself than we have time to count. Continuously we hear of more and more STDs and more kinds of drugs and more gangs and all these different things. And what I'm simply saying is that this society needs people, godly people who are salty and who will take the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I say to you this morning, the preaching of the blood and the preaching of the cross and the conversion of souls will do what government programs can never do and social programs can never do. There is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, and they are new in Him. And the Spirit of God brings about a change in their life.
My friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Considering the Preaching of Christ. We're starting a new year by rediscovering what was Jesus' central message? What did He preach about in His brief earthly ministry? And why is it important for us to understand these truths and apply them to our lives? If you would like to hear this entire message or any of the recent broadcasts from Daily in the Word, we do invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to contact us. You'll also find a link to subscribe to a complimentary daily devotion from Dr. Chappell that can arrive in your email box each and every day. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your iPod or computer, or refer it to a friend who maybe does not live in an area where our program is broadcast. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chappell entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us. And we're easy to contact, toll-free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.